invite you to take your Bibles now and turn with me if you'd like to follow along to the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. And this is in a section of teaching and preaching of Jesus often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. And in the middle of this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches those who are listening to him about prayer and gives them a model prayer, which is often called the Lord's Prayer. And we're going to turn our attention to the very first phrase of that prayer, the preface or the address of the Lord's Prayer. I'm preaching through the Lord's Prayer in Casper and thought I'd revisit this opening address with you all this evening, Our Father in Heaven. A very short phrase, but I think you'll see it's loaded with significance. So I'm going to actually begin the reading where Jesus begins teaching about prayer in verse 5. I'll read down through the Lord's Prayer, and then I'll have a short reading from chapter 7, where Jesus addresses the topic of prayer once again in the Sermon on the Mount. But let's now give our attention to the Word of God, Matthew 6, beginning in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep your finger there in chapter 6 and turn over to chapter 7 and verse 7. And let me read just briefly chapter 7, verse 7 through 11. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? That's where we'll end our reading of God's word this evening. Let's stop and ask for his help as we hear his word. Our Father in heaven, we do want to learn from your word tonight about who you are and how we belong to you and how we ought to pray to you. We want to learn from your Son. And so make us faithful students tonight. Give us attention. Give us hearts and ears that would be ready to receive your word. And make us a people of faith and a people of prayer. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Names and titles are significant. We don't live in the South, but the way we address people, how we speak to them, is important, carries a lot of meaning. For example, we address people in authority, or we ought to address them with respect. Growing up in sports, I was taught to call officials sir, not ref, or hey you. If you're stopped by a car with flashing lights, you're supposed to call that man in the uniform officer. We call judges your honor. Or think of the difference between calling your dad old man versus father. One conveys respect and the other not so much. Other names and titles convey closeness and love, familiarity. Think of terms of endearment or nicknames you might use for a loved one or for a close friend. Or think of titles we use within our own family, son, daughter, mom, dad, wife, husband. Those are not titles or names used by everyone, but by members of a family, people closely related to one another. You see, the way we address people, how we speak to them, what we call them, says a lot about our relationship to them, who they are to us, who we are to them. Well, in much the same way, how we address God, how we speak to God, is also very significant, more significant. And it too conveys who He is to us, what we think of Him, and who we are to Him, our relationship to Him. And so it's no surprise that Jesus gives us direction as to how to speak to God in prayer, how to address Him. And what we'll see together as we look at this evening is that Jesus taught us to pray to God in a close, personal, trusting way, as well as with deep respect and reverence for His power and authority. And this is captured in the balanced and carefully crafted, most significant words that open the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father in heaven." Our Father in heaven. Jesus teaches us to pray with personal trust and familiarity to our Father as children, and also with reverence and awe to the Almighty God in heaven. And so the very first line of the Lord's Prayer, you probably all know it by heart and can repeat it without even thinking about it. It is vastly significant, and I want you to think about it and think about its significance together with me this evening. In the very first line of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus calls you to pray together as children to your Father in heaven. Pray together as children to your Father in heaven. Well, if you have an outline, and there's one, I believe, in the bulletin this evening, you can see there that we're going to consider just three simple points tonight. Really just break this phrase down into its three component parts. We want to consider the Father, our Father in heaven, and then why we also call Him our Father. So we're going to look at those three parts briefly together tonight. First of all, let's consider why Jesus teaches us to call God our Father in heaven. Why call God Father when we pray? Jesus says, when you pray, pray to your Father. Call upon God as our Father. Think of Him, trust Him, come to Him as a child would to a father. Now, before we think about this together, I want to be clear that calling God Father requires faith. No one can really know God as Father. No one can call God Father apart from faith. Apart from faith in Jesus, His Son. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And so we need to stop right at the outset and make sure we are clear on this one thing. You cannot pray, and you cannot call God Father, and you cannot look to Him as your Father apart from faith in Jesus Christ. If you've not put your faith in Jesus, then you have no right to call God Father as His child. You're a sinner in rebellion against Him. And you need to repent of your sins and trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, to save you. Faith is the starting point for all true prayer in order to call God Father. And even for those of you who have come to Christ already and may have been calling Him Father, calling God Father for years by faith, you must also pray to your Father by faith in Christ. Christ is the only way to the Father. This is why we pray in Jesus' name. That's not specifically taught here in this teaching on prayer, but I would argue that it's implied here when Jesus teaches us to call God our Father. Apart from Jesus, God is not our Father. He has no reason to listen. Apart from Him, we are rebels, not children. And so we must have faith in Jesus Christ to call God and to know God as our Father. And so this title, Father, is so significant. There are so many names and titles of God that Jesus could have chosen. But He says, pray to Him this way, our Father. And that name, Father, is used 16 times in this short Sermon on the Mount. Jesus wants us to get the point, to know and relate to and pray to God as our Father. Why is this? Why is God our Father? Well, He is our Father because of the gospel, because He's adopted us as His children. We were once children of wrath, lost and dead in our sins, but as Ephesians 1 verse 5 says, in love He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus. John says in his gospel in the first chapter, verse 12, all who did receive Him, all who believed in His name, in Jesus, He gave the right to become children of God by the will of God. Adoption is a work of God's grace and His love and His power that brings children of wrath into the spiritual family of God and lets us call on Him as Father. I want you to imagine if you wanted to speak directly to the governor, and that's probably a lot easier to do in Wyoming where I'm from than it is here. But even in Wyoming, if you want to speak to the governor, there's multiple layers to go through. You have to fill out a request form. They'll do a background check on you. His phone number or his office hours are not open to the public. Any phone number you might find would send you to an office assistant or one of many secretaries. But even if you made your way through all the layers and made your way through security and actually got a short face-to-face visit scheduled with the governor, you wouldn't know him and he wouldn't know you. And you would go in and sit down and you would call him Mr. Governor. You wouldn't call him by his first name. You wouldn't call him friend. And you would have to introduce yourself to him. You see, you have no direct access to him. But what if you were his son? What if you were the governor's son? That would be a lot different, wouldn't it? If you needed him, you would have his number. And you could call and say, Dad, it's me. I need to see you. I need to talk to you. And he would make that happen. Well, friends, this is the access you have to God in a way. But it's even better. You have the right to speak to him at all times and at any place. You have 24/7 access to the God of the universe. And he says to you, come and talk to me anytime. You don't have to go through secretaries. You don't have to do a special form. You don't have to go through a priest. You don't have to be in a church. You don't have to schedule an appointment. Come. And God is far more glorious, far more powerful than an earthly governor. And yet he says, call me anytime and call me Father. You are my children. You have access to me at all times. How can this be? How do we get this amazing privilege? Well, it's because God has sent his only Son to come and die for us and live for us and unite himself to us and adopt us into God's family, make us his children, heirs with him, to give us his Holy Spirit, to give us all the rights and privileges as sons and daughters, to make us members of his family and his household. What a privilege. What an amazing blessing this is. Galatians 4, verse 4 and following tells us at just the right time, God sent his Son to redeem and adopt sinners as his sons. And he has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts so that we can call out to him as Abba, Father. This is why we can address God as Father. This is why we ought to call him Father. If you ask a young child, many, many young children, who's the strongest person that you know? Who do they often say? Dad. And they better say that in my household, right? But they often say Dad. He's the greatest. He's the strongest. Well, friends, as children of God, you do actually have the greatest and the strongest Father in the world. And even if you've had earthly fathers that have let you down, earthly fathers that have been distant, or fathers that you grew up and you didn't even know, God is a good Father. He's a faithful Father. He knows you. He knows what you need even before you ask. And he's so much better than earthly fathers who even they know how to give good gifts, Jesus says in chapter 7. And so he's calling you to come boldly and with confidence to God as your Father, to ask him for what you need, to trust him as you would a good earthly father. Trust him to provide for you, protect you, forgive you, teach you, never give up on you. Jesus, the Son of God, teaches you to come to his Father in prayer as children to your Father, to crawl up in his lap, as it were, and look into his eyes with love and with confidence and closeness and trust and awe and call him Father. Friends, believe in his Son and call him Father, our Father. And call him our Father in heaven. That's what I want us to consider second this evening, our Father in heaven. Why Father in heaven? Well, God is not an earthly Father. And to remind us of that, to remind us of God's divine majesty and his infinite greatness, and to teach us to address him with humble respect, Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Now, kids, you know that God is everywhere. He's an infinite spiritual being. He doesn't have a body like us, and so he's not located in one place at one time. And so when we pray to our Father in heaven, we're not so much talking about a place that he is in or a place where he is located. God is everywhere. Now, it is true that he's present in a unique and glorious way in heaven with the angels and heaven with the glorified saints, where Jesus is seated at his right hand. And we should remember his heavenly glory and his heavenly throne. But I think that in heaven here has more to do with God's transcendence and greatness, more to do with who he is rather than where he is. Jesus is teaching us that God is not earthly. He is not limited in any way. This is a reminder to us that he is God. He's God. There's nothing physical or earthly about him. And so when you pray to God, your Father, you come to him as your gentle, forgiving, providing, adopting Father. But when you come to him, you realize he is also the all-powerful God in heaven. The God who cannot be contained by heaven, even the highest heavens. The God who is outside of time and space. The God who sits above and over and outside of the entire created universe. The God who is infinite, eternal, unchangeable. The God who is otherworldly. The God who is heavenly. And it's because he is in heaven, it's because he is everywhere present, and he's majestic and sovereign and not limited and earthly like you and I. It's because of that that we pray. And we pray with reverence and awe and respect and humility and with true faith and expectation that he's both able to hear and answer us. Because he is the true, almighty, all-powerful God, that he's able to hear prayer and he has the power to answer prayer. You could have the nicest, most generous, gentle, loving, earthly father in the world who would do anything and everything for you. But in reality, earthly fathers can't do everything, can they? They can't answer every request. They're limited. They're limited in power and wisdom. Sorry to break it to you, kids, but your earthly fathers can't do everything. They can only be in one place at one time. They can't see into your heart. They can't give you a new heart. They can't save you from your sins. They can't make you spiritually alive. They can't raise you from the dead or give you the Holy Spirit. They can't meet your greatest needs or protect you from your greatest enemies. But God, your Father, can. It's because he is your Father in heaven. He is none other than the God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth. If he were not the God in heaven, prayer would be pointless. And so this part of the preface, this way we address God, draws our faith to his almighty power and glory. What a better way to start prayer, by remembering that God is all-powerful. He is above everything. What a better way to humble us, to call us to approach him with reverence and respect. Now, I think that's assumed in the title Father. A father is an authority figure who is owed respect. But the words in heaven emphasize this. And so we pray to our Father in heaven. If he wasn't our Father, we would have no right to him, no access to him, no confidence that he loved us and cared for us. And if he wasn't in heaven, if he wasn't divine, the divine and all-powerful creator, he would have no power and no ability to hear us and answer our prayers. But he's both. He's both Father and Heavenly Father. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, as it reflects on the Lord's Prayer, and specifically this phrase in number 100, it says, the preface of the Lord's Prayer, the preface teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father able and ready to help us. Draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father able and ready to help us. One writer put it this way: fatherly love on the one hand and transcendent greatness on the other are two qualities in God which the rest of the prayer assumes at every point. And so do you see how the beginning of the Lord's Prayer strikes the right balance for us between familiarity and fear, between confident trust and humble reverence. It helps us pause and remember who God is in all His love and greatness, and who we are as earthly, needy, adopted children. And so, brothers and sisters, pray to your Father in heaven. Well, there's one more part of the preface that I want us to consider this evening, and it's an easy one to overlook, and that is the very first word. We've considered Father, we've considered Father in heaven, but Jesus says in verse 9, pray then like this, our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. I said earlier, Jesus calls you here to pray together as children to your Father. But why together? Where does that come from? Well, it comes from this short but powerful word, our. And this word in the Greek grammar is a first person plural possessive pronoun. And if you can come up to me afterwards and repeat that, I'll at least give you a high five. That's a first person plural possessive pronoun, and it's loaded with significance. I'm not telling you that to impress you. I'm telling you that because it's important. That means that it claims personal ownership and relationship to the Father. He's not just a Father. He's not the Father. He is our Father. He belongs to us. But the fact that this word our is a plural means He's not just my Father either. The word our stands for more than just one person praying, more than just one person claiming God as Father. It assumes a plurality of prayers. And interestingly enough, the words and the grammar of the rest of this prayer reflect and confirm this. Follow this pattern. If you look at it there in your Bibles, our Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us. You see, Jesus' model prayer is a prayer for His people as a whole. It's not just for individuals. And if you look at it, there is no I or my in this prayer. There's no singular in this prayer. It reminds us that we not only belong to God as our Father, but we belong to His family as well. We belong to each other. We have brothers and sisters who are also children of God, who also need Him, who also love Him and speak to Him. And it reminds us that while prayer should be a private practice of individuals, and we read about that earlier, Jesus says, go into your room, pray. While that should be part of our prayer life, it is and it ought to also be a corporate practice of God's family together, calling upon our Father. Jesus assumes we will pray this, and that this will be a guide in our prayer with others. He leads us to pray with and for others with this one small word, this plural pronoun. It reminds us that not only do I need help from God, not only do I need daily bread, not only do I want God's kingdom to come, but so do all of God's children. And it keeps us from being too self-focused or too overly self-focused. It encourages us to think of ourselves in relation to the rest of the body of Christ, not as a lone individual before God, but as a family that comes together to our Father. Families do things together, healthy families. They spend time together. They love each other. They speak to each other. They eat together. They pray together. And the same is true for the family of God. This is one reason why we pray a lot in worship. This is why we have prayer meetings. This is why we might ask one another, how can I pray for you? This is why it's common to find prayer at Bible studies, before meals. This is why we might just meet up just to talk and pray together as brothers and sisters in Christ. This is why again and again we see the early church praying together. This is why healthy, growing churches are praying churches. They understand their dependence on their Father and each other. They're a family. They're a team. They're not just a bunch of lone individuals. And this is a point, I think, that needs to be made, especially today. This is a point that needs to be reclaimed today, because I think we think primarily as individuals, especially here in the West. And even as we can even be influenced by evangelicalism as well. Modern evangelicals have championed the idea and the picture of me, my Bible, and Jesus. Probably today, me, my phone, my Bible, and Jesus. Now, of course, we need a personal relationship with the Lord ourselves. We need communion with our Father. We need our prayer closet. But we also need one another. We need to pray with and for one another. We need the family of God. And we need to call upon Him together as our Father in heaven. We need to live as a family. And that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? Pray together to your Father, our Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, find ways to do this. Find ways to pray together. Join with your pastor or your elders when they're leading you in prayer. That is not just one person praying. You are all coming together as you are led to the throne of grace. Ask each other, what can I pray for? Take opportunities to pray together. And I'll take the opportunity to remind you to pray for your pastor. He didn't ask me to say that, but pray for your pastor. Remember, you're a part of a family. Pray for all of one another. Pray for each other. Remember, you are part of God's family locally and internationally. Jesus would have you learn to pray together as children to your Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven. By now, I would hope that if you didn't have it memorized already, you now have the preface to the Lord's Prayer memorized. Our Father in heaven. But don't go over it too quickly. I would encourage you to slow down and think about the significance of each one of these words. Slow down and maybe even emphasize each word out loud or in your mind. Think about how amazing it is that we are taught to call upon God as our Father in heaven. Brothers and sisters, as you pray this, as you think about this, remember, I am an adopted child of God. He is my Father by grace through Jesus. He knows me. He loves me. He already knows what I need as my Father. He cares for me that much. Remember, wow, I'm speaking to the Father in heaven. The God who is above all, the God who spoke and brought this entire universe into existence, the God who is above all, the God who's outside of time and space, the God who has none of the limits I do, who is all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful. What a gift. What a God. How I should trust Him. How I should humble myself before Him with reverence and awe. What reason to pray. What reason to give thanks. What reason to hope. I am not alone. Countless other brothers and sisters call Him Father with me. Countless others are walking by faith with me as His children. I have to love them and pray with them and pray for them. What a privilege. What a God, our Father in heaven. Dear people of God, dear children of God, Brothers and sisters, don't skim over these words too fast. Don't pray them with just rote, mindless repetition. Make them your own. Let them sink in and be amazed. Learn from Jesus to speak and pray these words intentionally with wonder and with warmth and with faith. Our Father in heaven, brothers and sisters, pray together as children to our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do stop and are amazed that we would have that privilege of being your children and of calling on you in this way. You are the Creator, you are the Judge, you are the King, you are the Lord of hosts, and yet you say, call me Father, Father in heaven. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Teach us to look to you and trust you and know you as our Father. Teach us to live as your family together. And remind us, Lord, that you are the Almighty God in heaven, that you are powerful. Lord, yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. And we do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.